Turn with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 60. Isaiah, chapter 60. We were sitting there this morning, and Sarah was sitting beside us, and I was looking for a phrase that I felt was in the Bible, but I just couldn't find it. And it was the last phrase that I read at the beginning of the service, and that is that they wished for the day. And I told her, I said, I think it's there, but I can't find it. And she said, I think it's when they were in a storm. And then I remembered it was with Paul. So, and I told her, I said, I have no idea, and I still have no idea what I'm going to say this morning. I had some notes, but I left them at home because they just didn't seem what I wanted to say. Isaiah chapter 60, I'm going to start with verse 19. And we're going to kind of bounce around about three chapters of Isaiah here. Just to get our minds going, Isaiah is prophesying about the coming destruction of Jerusalem, the coming captivity that Israel, Judah, is going to take place with them when the Babylonian army came in, destroyed the town, destroyed the temple, carried them away into Babylon, and were in captivity for 70 years. And Isaiah is telling them, this is what's going to happen. But God's mercy and His grace is so wonderful that even as Isaiah was telling them, you're going to be taken into captivity, I want you to understand something, and that is, God hasn't forsaken you. God hasn't turned away from you. God hasn't left you on your own. Yes, you'll go into captivity, but He'll be there with you. And these particular chapters are talking about their return. So not only did Isaiah tell them, you're going to be taken captive, but he left them, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, He left them with the understanding and the hope, the assurance, that God was going to bring them back. And when God brought them back, it would be better than before they were taken out. So these particular chapters are talking about that. And as I read it, and what I intended to say last week, and I'll say it again this week, is these chapters have a past, present, and future application to them. The past is what I just talked about, the destruction of Jerusalem, not in 70 AD, not after the time of Christ, but back in the Old Testament days when Jerusalem was destroyed. We know that Jerusalem was destroyed at least two different times. One when the Babylonians came in, and then in the New Testament days when the Roman army came in and destroyed it. So this is the Babylonian. And so as we begin in verse 19, it says, the sun, the S-U-N, shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee, but the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. The sun shall no more go down, neither shall the moon withdraw itself, for the Lord shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended. Thy people also shall be all righteous. They shall inherit the land forever. The branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. That's God speaking to them. A little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in His time. The message I had last week was in His time, in God's timing. He makes all things right in His time, and according to His purpose, and according to His plan. And I start to say, I don't know about you, but I think I do, that our plans and our timing is not always the same as His. We tend to be more impatient. We tend to want things right away. We tend to want to see the end, even from the beginning. And only God can do that. And in fact, He says He declares the end from the beginning. So as we look at this, the past application to this would be, in my understanding, is that during that time when the Babylonians came in, but he was looking ahead to when God would bring them back. The future is There is coming a time for, well, I don't even know that you could call it a time. There is coming eternity when we shall be in the presence of the Lord for, how do you even say forever and ever when it's eternal? There is no time, there is no beginning, there is no end to eternity. We will be with the Lord in His presence, in His glory, and see that, and rejoice in that forever. But what I want to talk to you about today is the present. What does this mean for us today? What does this mean for you today, for me today? We all have struggles, don't we? We all have times that we go through that are dark, that are dreary. There are times that we are like the people in the ship with Paul, that they just wished for the day. I think probably all of us have experienced nights like that when we just wish, I can't wait for the sun to come up. Things will be better when the sun comes up. Well, and I know you probably get tired of me using, I don't have anything but personal examples. But this past Thursday, as we left out about 6 o'clock to go to Atlanta, pitch dark, and I said, you know, we're going to get to see the sunrise this morning. And usually when we do that, along about the time we get to Barnesville, it begins to come up. And it didn't come up. And it didn't come up. And it didn't come up according to the way that we were looking at it. All we saw were clouds, a few raindrops. And I remember when we got back, Judy said, we didn't get to see the sunrise, did we? I said, not with our eyes. But you know what? The sun rose. The clouds were between us. But the sun was there. You can rest assured of that, even when we can't see it. This morning it's cloudy. But I assure you, the sun's in the sky. And God's on His throne. And everything's okay. Because God is in control. May not be the way that we think it needs to be. May not be the way we want it to be. But God does all things well. He does all things perfectly. And in His time, He makes all things to be right. So He said here, when we are in this place, and again, I'm talking about present day, right now, when we're in this place where that our hearts and our minds are focused upon the Lord and only upon Him, we won't have to rely upon the sun in the sky. We won't have to rely upon the moon in the sky at night, because the Lord is our light. The Lord is the one that brightens our life, that brightens our path, that shows us the light and the enlightenment that we need when we're going through those struggles, when we're going through those times that we don't know which way to turn. Sometimes we don't know which way is up or down or left or right, but God does. And he says it twice in these passages. The Lord will be unto thee an everlasting light. The Lord will be thine everlasting light. He makes it personal in verse 20. It'll be your everlasting light. So I went back and I saw somebody the other day put these scriptures out, and I thought this is part of what I want to try to say. Back to chapter 59. And verses 20 and 21. Because, again, the reason that I went for that, and they wished for the day, they were in their situation in Acts 27, they'd gone 14 days without seeing the sun. 14 days with the wind and the rain and the waves and everything beating against them. And I don't know about you, I have quit saying that, don't I? 14 days can be an eternity. One night can be an eternity. For Jesus Christ hanging on the cross, 3 hours was an eternity. He suffered in those 3 hours of where the Father had turned His face away from Him and that gross darkness upon the face of the earth. That was an eternity, because Jesus was always in the will of the Father. He was always in fellowship with the Father. And that's why He suddenly cried out, "Why hast thou forsaken me?" Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever just wanted to cry out, "God, where are you?" And it's the same place today as He was when Jesus was hanging on the cross. And this is not original with me, but it's the truth. He's on His throne. That's where he is. He'll never relinquish that authority. Never. So, they're wishing for the day. And here in verse 20 of chapter 59, here's that ray of hope. Here's that ray of hope that they have to hold on to for 70 years. Not 14 days. But for 70 years, they need to hold on to this hope that Isaiah is given them by inspiration of God in chapter 59 and verse 20. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion. Now, who's the Redeemer? The Lord. What is the Lord to us? He's our light. He's our life, yes. But again, I'm talking about in present day for children of God, for us today. He is our light. The Redeemer shall come to Zion. And when the Redeemer comes to Zion, that's better than the sun rising up in the morning. Because He shines that light not only around us, but He shines that light into us. And that light that shines into us is in the face of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And He reminds us time and time and time again, I'm with you. And I'll never leave you. I'll never turn my back on you. I'll never turn my face away from you. If it was possible for Him to do that, I tell you, here's an example of one that it would be perfectly within His rights to turn away from me. And yet, through it all, He's there. The sun shall come. The Redeemer shall come to Zion. Now in the Old Testament, Zion, when you see Zion, it's representative of the New Testament church. It's representative of us today. It's representative of the kingdom of God that we walk in with righteousness and peace and joy in our hearts and in our minds as we're walking in full fellowship with the Lord. And how sweet and wonderful that is, isn't it? How wonderful it is whenever that you just know that you know without a shadow of a doubt that my Lord is with me. I can feel Him. I know He's here. But then there's those times when it's darkness. But in those darkness, we still have this promise. The Redeemer shall come to Zion. I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm not going to leave you in that darkness. I'm not going to leave you in that storm. I'm not going to leave you in that time that you think that everything is just upside down in your world. Because when the Redeemer comes, remember Job? I got to say this. I told Sarah, I said, you know, it's always dangerous when the preacher says he's not going to speak very long. She said, I've heard that before. Do you remember Job in the middle of his... In the middle of the storm of his life, do you remember what he said? He said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And that I'll see Him, not with any other, but with these eyes. I'm going to see my Lord. With these eyes of faith, I'm going to see that my Lord is with me. The Redeemer, my Lord, shall come to Zion. He'll come into my heart in such a way that He lets me know, it's okay. It's okay. I've got it. I've got it under control. But Lord, no. I've got it. But this is happening. I've got it. And can I tell you this morning, that's the hardest walk of faith that there is to come to that place of saying, Lord, You've got it. I know I keep referring to some of the devotions, but I think it was this past week that I ended with, I can't even walk without You holding my hand. There have been times in my life when I thought I had it under control. There have been times in my life when I thought, I've got this. And the Lord says, do you? Let's think about this for a while. Do you really, really think You have it? Do you remember the movie that was popular about 15, 20 years ago, Bruce Almighty? I don't like to bring in worldly things, but do you remember that movie? He felt like he could do God's job, and everything in the world fell apart. Can you imagine a weakling like me saying, I've got this, Lord, but I'm so glad that He says no, but I'm going to come to Zion. I'm going to come into your heart in such a way that you're going to know that you don't have it. And that's going to hurt when you know that. But then the peace comes in knowing that the Son of Righteousness arises. That's the last words that are spoken in the Old Testament. The Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in His wings. And can I? There's a song in our book that I've only heard maybe once or twice. But it says, "Earth holds no sorrows that heaven cannot heal. Earth holds no illness that heaven cannot heal. The Son of Righteousness will come with healing in His wings. And whether He heals me on this earth or whether He heals me in heaven, He hasn't gone against His word." And I don't want us to ever forget that. God's ways are so much higher and so much holier than my ways. Can I tell you this morning, there have been more than one time in my life that I have to look back and say, "Thank you, Lord, that you did not let me have it my way." Can you identify with that? Can you identify that there have been times in your life that you felt like, "This is what I want. This is what I need." And God says, "No, you can't have it." But the Son comes with righteousness. The Redeemer comes with righteousness and holiness and peace. Verse 21 of chapter 59. "As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever." Have you ever heard anybody say that the Bible is out of date? You can take them to that verse right there, and you can tell them, "No, no, no. My God said." Now, your God may say something else. I'm not pointing anybody here. Their God may say something else. But my God says His word will never depart. His word will never end. His word will always be efficient and sufficient for our lives. And He says the Redeemer will come. You know, sometimes we think about the Redeemer only coming once in our life when the blood cleanses us and the Spirit gives us new life. But I'm thankful that my Redeemer comes to me every day. I may not always recognize Him. I may not always appreciate Him. I'm just speaking. But my Redeemer comes to me every day. And my Redeemer tells me every day of His love for me and His care for me and His plan for me and His purpose for me. And I may not understand it, and I don't need to understand it. All I need to understand is my Redeemer is with me. And He's holding my hand, or else I wouldn't walk. So when we have that understanding, the very next verse, chapter 60 and verse 1 says, "Arise and shine." I'll be honest with you. This morning, the only thing that kept me from calling Brother Sandy is because of the last two out of the last three. But then I read this verse, and God said, "Get up and shine." It's not me. It's not my life. But I pray that Christ is shining in me and through His Word. "Arise, shine, for thy light, for the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, gross darkness the people, but the Lord." There's my favorite word, and now you see why that's my favorite word in the Bible, B-U-T. "Gross darkness upon the earth, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and His glory shall be seen upon thee." And when His glory and His light rises upon us, there's something that takes place. There's something that frees us and enables us to glorify Him. Go to chapter 61. And I'm just going to read this, and this will be the closing. "The Spirit of the Lord," verse 1. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me." Now, I could try to take credit for that, but He's not talking about me. He's talking about Jesus right there. He's talking about my Redeemer. He's talking about the light. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek." Now, I pray that He's anointed me to preach good tidings. But I'm not the light. I'm not the light. I'm not the life. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. Oh, there's that word again. But who's already in Zion? My Redeemer. So it's my Redeemer that's doing all of this in our lives. It's your Redeemer that's doing all this in your life. To appoint to them that mourn in Zion. Oh, you know, I said I was going to read it and be all. Sometimes the impression is given that when we as children of God make up our mind and we decide we're going to follow Jesus, that there'll be no more problems in life. That's a lie right out of hell. Because when we try to follow Jesus, that may be blunt language, but that's the way it is. When we try to follow Jesus, that's when Satan gets on all over us. To appoint to them that mourn in Zion. There's things that happen that cause us to mourn out in the world, but it's talking about us. It's talking about you and it's talking about me this morning. Appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes. You see, that was the thing in the Old Testament when they were mourning. They would rend, especially for repentance, they would tear their clothes. They would clothe themselves in sackcloth and ashes. They would let people know, I have something in my life that I'm mourning about. I have something in my life that's troubling me. I have something that I need my Redeemer. And He says, I'm going to give to you beauty for those ashes. For you see, those ashes are not pretty at all. I give you beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. For what purpose? So that I'll feel better? That He might be glorified. You see, sometimes we lose sight of what our purpose is. Sometimes, I'll leave you out of this, sometimes I lose sight of what the purpose of worship is. I lose sight of what the purpose of coming to church is. You know, I want to say when I come to church, I feel better. And that's an offshoot from it. That's not the purpose. The purpose is that we glorify our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Again, one last personal thing, and then I'll turn it back over to Brother Sandy. Last Sunday morning, you know what took place last Sunday morning. Before we left the house, I asked Judy, I said, I don't know if I'm here or not, but I asked her, I said, do you really feel like going this morning? She didn't take a breath. She didn't hesitate. She said, did Jesus feel like going to the cross for me? That's all it took. And once we got here, things changed. But she was here to glorify God because her Lord had gone to the cross for her. That's our purpose in worship, is to express our love, our devotion, our appreciation, to lift up the precious name of our Redeemer, for He's here in Zion. He's here in this chunk of Zion, right here. He shows Himself every time we come together, and I praise Him for it. I thank You for putting up with me. I thank You for letting me just open my heart. May we pray.